When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kids' legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham on a Thursday morning. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494. We'll get to some Eagles stuff in the next hour. And I also want to start doing this. We'll talk about one guy during this segment, I suppose. But I want to start going through a couple of the candidates, a couple of guys that have been linked to the Birds. So we'll get to that. What do you got there,
we'll
Mike?
Have to do an odds update. See how they change day to day.
Yeah, we'll do an odds update, and we'll look at some of the guys who have been linked, and we'll get to the Eagles more in the next hour. We'll get to the crybaby quarterback, who that should be his new name. What's better, hashtag crybaby quarterback or hashtag Coach Killer Carson? I like Coach Killer Carson personally.
Crying Carson.
Crying Carson. Yeah. It's ridiculous. The coddling continues because it's becoming pretty evident. That's why Doug got fired. Like, Doug got fired because, they want to please Carson. And, I will say, and I know a lot of the Howie haters will, I'm going to ramp back a little bit of my Howie hate tonight. I think, the real villain here is the owner. I think that's becoming obvious. That the owner's the real problem.
It's number 11.
Well, him. But Jeffrey Lurie is enabled this coddling nature when it comes to him. And
stop the coddling.
And the reports the other day just make it even worse in regards to Carson. By the way, I never got my $5, Mike. Paul, he only had a 10, and then I did not have any cash to break the change.
Sounds like that was his problem.
Yeah, I don't buy anything with cash these days. There's not much I buy with cash. I'll say that. Most things I can buy with a card, at a store and stuff like that. But, maybe a few things you have to buy with cash.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But not much. 215-592-9494 if you want to join the show. But I'll give you a social media gripe real quick here. And I may have used this one before, but I'm not sure, so I'll just do it again right now. When people tweet, and then I guess it's usually when they're proud of their tweet, and at the end, to emphasize that they're proud of their tweet, they'll actually say, send tweet. Have you seen this? This kills you when you're not on Twitter and you don't see this stuff.
But it's just so funny to react of like how ridiculous. Send tweet.
Yeah. It's like when they're proud of their tweet and they want attention drawn to the tweet. Instead of just actually sending the tweet, they will add at the end, like Joel Embiid is the NBA MVP right now. Send tweet. I just don't understand why that's necessary. And it bothers me.
Yeah, I'm looking at them now. Trying to find one. I was trying to find one sports related, but
okay.
A lot of political ones that we'll hold off on.
Yeah. Well, today was a big mixture of political Twitter and NBA Twitter just converging all at once. And
Flyers Twitter, you know, I'm sure.
Trump's getting impeached over here. Harden's getting traded to the Nets over here. And it's just a flood on the, and this is another one I'll just throw in there, on the TL. When people refer to Twitter as the TL this app.
I like that more than this website.
This website's the worst. That just, oh my God.
On the twitter.com.
Yeah, it's just, these people are just, they are the absolute worst. So there's a few gripes for you today.
I want to find more of the, here's what we're not going to do.
Oh,
that's been my favorite one.
They're just terrible. They're just terrible. They're absolutely terrible. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. Main topic tonight, talking a lot of Sixers in the first hour. Surprised it hasn't been heavier on the phones, to be honest with you, because I thought there'd be more, you know, either outrage or relief about what happened. Sixers do not pull the trigger. James Harden will not be a Sixer. He is going to Brooklyn in a deal for amounts to 8 first-round picks. Just insane. And then they get Victor Oladipo, which I don't get why they traded LeVert for Oladipo. I guess they wanted the expiring contract, get out of it at the end of the year. The Rockets are basically like tanking the next 5 years, is what it looks like to me.
And Oladipo's kind of been it's under the radar because of, you know, Harden and some of the other stuff last year. But he was telling other teams on the court to trade for him.
Right.
Like he's kind of a, you know.
And he's not even very good. Like he's fine. He's fine.
Yeah, he's like between 20th and 30th best, maybe.
I have bad memories of Victor Oladipo. Do you know why, Mike?
Something with his Indiana career?
Yes. When Indiana...
They didn't play Temple.
They did in the tournament. They did. They're the one seed. Temple was the 8 seed. In that game, Khalif Wyatt scored like more than half of Temple's points. Khalif Wyatt had like 35 points or something. And the Sixers or Temple lost that game in the second round of the tournament in 2012. That's my, and also I have bad James Harden memories. James Harden knocked Temple out when he was with ASU as well.
You're right.
How about that?
Yeah.
Way back, and I believe that was 2009. But
yes.
That was a first round matchup. So, you know, just more failures of Fran, which that's a take I haven't gone to in a while. The Fran Dumphy, is a bad coach take.
Well, they haven't really had a season this year for to even like talk about.
Right, exactly. And Aaron's not doing much better right now, so what can you do?
Only 2 games under 500.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. But did the Sixers make a mistake? Did they squander an opportunity not trading for James Harden, or did they do the right thing, holding firm, not giving up the farm, and do you trust Daryl Morey to improve this team down the line? That's where I fall right now, despite being disappointed. 215-592-9494. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham on a Thursday morning. Everyone a little distracted, just filling out my timesheet here. I can get paid. Timesheets due a day early today, so I usually do them on. I usually wait till the last minute and do it on Thursday, but our timesheets are due on Thursday this week, so I got to do it right now. Multitasking a little bit here.
I guess you're pretty confident you're making it through these. The rest of the shift.
The rest of the shift? Yeah, I know.
You'll get paid anyway. But
yeah. Darn it, I forgot to save it, so I'm going to have to do it again during the next break. But that's unfortunate. But if you want to get in, 215-592-9494 to join the show discussing the Sixers and whether or not they made the right decision here by not making this move for James Harden. And I had come around. I'd started the season saying, wait, because I thought the Sixers had the leverage. I thought they had the time because I didn't think Houston would get a better offer than Ben Simmons. Now, you know, when you bring it, and I see Mike in South Philly's there, we'll get to Mike in 1 second here, but one thing that really did hurt the Sixers here that I didn't account for, but what ultimately I think pushed Brooklyn to make this move is the craziness of Kyrie Irving. Like, what the Brooklyn Nets did was get Kyrie insurance, essentially. Because what he's doing right now, I don't know if he's coming back. Like, he already wants Steve Nash fired. Like, what is up with this guy? He was upset that they didn't consult him in the hiring. He was livid. And I saw a clip the other night. He called timeout. He, like, was yelling at Steve Nash. Poor Steve Nash. The guy's got a job. First head coaching job ever. And he's got to deal with that nutcase. Kyrie doesn't want any part of being there.
That's kind of like, that to me, that's something you take up with Durant. Because, like, everyone knows Durant, it was his idea to bring in Nash. Like, you take that up with Durant. You don't take that up with Nash. Like,
right. You know what I mean? It's just like, but it doesn't, it really, it doesn't matter. I mean, we all know it's not about the coach with Kyrie. It's about Kyrie wants to be a baby and wants to do Kyrie things.
Did you see he was on a Zoom call during the Nets game?
Yeah, he said that guy is a bleep, you know what. I mean, I don't know what I'm allowed to say when I'm not in terms of FCC regulations, but he's a jerk. Okay? So that...
Classic Duke.
Right. And I think that really pushed Brooklyn to make this move where you're in a spot where they have Kevin Durant. Their window is obviously now. And I think Brooklyn looked at it twofold. Is they don't know what Kyrie's future is going to be. He's a very weird guy. I mean, Kyrie could retire tomorrow. And it wouldn't shock me. Like, it really wouldn't shock me if Kyrie Irving just said, I don't care about playing basketball anymore. I don't want to do it. And then you're going to lose Kevin Durant and you're not really going to have anything for all of this that you had promised your fan base and that you had hoped for when you made these moves with that big offseason. And basically, that's what this was. This is Kyrie Irving insurance, where if Kyrie doesn't come back, they have James Harden, and it really forced Brooklyn and forced their hand to make this move right now. And that's the part I hadn't accounted for. It's why I thought the Sixers could wait, because they had the best offer. But in the end, Brooklyn needed to do this. They needed to do this because of Kyrie Irving and the stuff that he was pulling. And, you know, to make that happen, they decided they would trade literally all of their picks and a lot of their depth and see if they can make it work. And that was what I had failed to account for. And that's ultimately what put the Sixers in a really tough spot here.
So Irving is, it cost him $2.5 million in salary to go to that party.
Really?
Yeah.
He's just, what a weird guy. And just what an odd guy. And maybe LeBron's best, maybe of all the things LeBron has accomplished, maybe his greatest accomplishment was winning a championship with that, you know, J.O. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Open lines right now if you want to get in. Let's go to Mike in South Philly. What's up, Mike? Yo, Mike.
How's it going, Tom?
What's going on, man?
I got to say, in all honesty, been a Philadelphia sports fan for 36 years. Well, not 36 years, 36 years old, but you don't really become a sports fan until you're, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. This is the most depressed and bummed I've ever been about Philadelphia sports in my entire life. Specifically about this. I'm talking about collectively for Philadelphia sports, all the teams just right now in the year 2021. I truly and honestly believe this, and I don't say things like this. I think it through. I'm not a reactionary person. I put logic into it. I put thought into it. I think we are headed toward an early to mid-90s level stretch of Philadelphia sports. I really think it's going to be that bad. it's going to be kind of like the mid-90s where it was kind of the Flyers were in contention. Remember, they went to the Cup Finals against the Red Wings, and everybody else around then was kind of mediocre, maybe kind of good. You know, the Sixers were okay. The Eagles and Phillies kind of sucked. And I think that's where we are right now. And depending on what the Eagles do with their coaching search, I honestly, and I'm dead serious when I say this, I don't joke around with stuff like this. I might just take a year or two off in Philadelphia sports. I'm so close to being at my wit's end with the city and our sports teams. And this was one of the final landing blows for me for Philadelphia sports. It was soul crushing. I don't think opportunities like this come around often. In fact, I don't know. In my lifetime, I can say unequivocally, in my lifetime, a top five player in the NBA has never, ever had Philadelphia as their number one destination ever. Never. It's never happened in my entire life. You know, nobody wants to come to the Sixers. And this was one of those chances. And I think Morey blew it. Look, Morey was a fantastic hire. No question about it. Excuse me. But he's never won a championship. And I believe the reason he never won a championship was because he blew it with Jimmy Butler in Houston. He wanted Jimmy Butler. He kind of hesitated to go all in. And if they would have paired Butler with Chris Paul and Harden, they probably would have beat that Warriors team. And he didn't do it. And while he's a tremendous general manager, he has shown a little, kind of being a little skittish on going on the all-in moves. Harden wasn't really all in because they were a building team at the time. But when you're at that point and you want to go over the top and kind of mortgage your future, he has shown a kind of apprehension to do it. I think it cost him with Houston. I think it's going to cost him here. I think this is the worst mistake he's ever made in his executive career.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, Mike. I think it's a little short-sighted. I do. I think it's a little short-sighted. I understand that James Harden is a great scorer, and I understand he's a heck of a player. I mean, you can say Daryl Morey's never won anything. You can also say James Harden's never won anything. And I would actually say James Harden's probably more responsible for that than Daryl Morey. But, you know, there are going to be things that come up down the line. Like, there are going to be guys that become available. And I get that we could end up looking back at this and thinking that this was a missed opportunity, but there is a chance that in 2 months, a Bradley Beal becomes available. And honestly, if that ends up being the route the Sixers go, I'd rather have Bradley Beal than James Harden.
See, I disagree, but even the point, I mean, if the Sixers get Bradley Beal, they're not beating the Nets. The Nets are going to crush the Sixers. A Sixers team with Bradley, I mean, they'd have to obviously trade Ben Simmons. And here's the thing, like, Bradley Beal is going to be incredibly expensive. Like, this is the price that superstars cost now. I heard people say, oh, the pick swaps and all this. Like, the Bucks gave up multiple pick swaps for Jrue Holiday. Like, this is the price. This is what it costs. The Lakers gave up a ton for Anthony Davis. Like, this is what it costs to get top five talents. Bradley Beal is going to cost you Ben Simmons, Thibault, and probably three to four first-round picks. That's what it's going to cost.
Yeah, but he's 4 years younger, Mike. He's entering his prime. James Harden's 31 years old and doesn't take care of his body.
No, but I understand that. But the problem is the competition to get to the top of the finals has just gotten more difficult. If you replace Ben Simmons with Bradley Beal and you throw it, you're not beating the Nets, and you're probably still not beating Boston. You might not beat Milwaukee. Like, they just not only missed out on Harden, but they made the team that they have to go through to get to the top even stronger.
I mean, possibly. I'd say possibly. I mean, you look at outside of Harden, Durant, I mean, that team doesn't have much else. And you can, hey, they might not need much else. They really might. But I don't know how confident they can be right now in Kyrie coming back to the fold. I don't think they are. I think it's part of the reason they did this right now. And I'll say this, Mike, and I wonder if this, you know, changes your mindset at all about the fact that Daryl Morey knows James Harden better than anybody else, and Daryl Morey ultimately decided that this was not worth it for James Harden. He's closer to that situation than anybody is.
Well, I thought about that, but then I thought, like, he was willing to go that far, so he obviously really, really wanted him. So he obviously thought he could really help the Sixers. I just think it came to a point where he, not that he didn't think that Harden was worth it, but he just thought, this is just too much, too rich for my blood. So you know what? Like, this is like, look, I'm just going to be honest here. Philadelphia sport, we're a city of losers. We've won two championships in the last 38 years. And you want to know why we've only won two championships in the last 38 years? It's because the Bostons, the LAs, the New Yorks, Those teams go all in. Those teams don't care about our future. Oh, my God, our future. Dude, we're in the middle of a pandemic. We have global warming. Like, we have, like, two major, like, wildfires that tear apart half the country every year. Like, well, we might not even be on Earth in 10 years. Like, I'm so sick about worrying about the future for everything. Like, go all in. Mortgage the future for just once. I'm so sick of being the ugly stepchild of New York and Boston and L.A. Those teams, they don't give a damn. They go for it. And it always works out. They went for it for Anthony Davis. It worked out. They went for it for LeBron. It worked out. The Dodgers went for it for Mookie Betts. It worked out. They got Josh Beckett in Boston back in the day. It worked out. Like, these teams go for it. The Celtics traded for Kevin Garnett. It worked out. They went in for Ray Allen. It worked out. Meanwhile, the Sixers, oh my God, our future. Oh my God, we can't give up our picks and our players. And you know what happens? You win two titles in 40 years. That's what happens. And the fans always put up this front. They always put up this front. Oh, good, good. Let them get them. We'll show them. Yeah, how does that work out? You lose. Philadelphia is a city of losers. We don't win anything here. And I'm so tired of watching all these other teams win championship after championship after championship because they have the guts to go for it. And meanwhile, we sit here and go, who else can we get? We're going to settle for a third best player or a fourth best player. Bradley Beal's nice. He's not James Harden. There's only five top five players in the NBA. He's one of them. We're not getting LeBron. We're not getting Kawhi. We're not getting Curry. And we didn't get Harden. And we're not getting, I mean, whoever else you want to throw into the mix.
Yeah,
go ahead,
Mike. You're good.
No, but like, I'm just tired of watching these other teams win titles. Go for it. Go for it. You know, and you look at what's going on with the Phillies and the Eagles, like, it's a depressing time to be a Philadelphia sports fan. I just wish that these general managers would forget about the future for just once. You know, draft picks will come back. You'll get more of them, okay? Now, it might take a while to get more when you mortgage a lot, but at some point in your franchise, your draft picks will start coming in again. It's not in perpetuity. You didn't give them up for the rest of eternity. But guys like James Harden, a top five player who has your team at the top of his list, that doesn't happen all the time. In fact, like I mentioned before, it's never happened in my entire lifetime, ever. This is the only time it's ever happened. And I'm looking at the landscape of Philadelphia sports, Tom. Like, when's the last time you went into a Philadelphia sports season expecting to win a title? Like, now, obviously, that doesn't mean you're going to get one, but when's the last time you went into a Philadelphia sports season expecting to win a championship?
I mean, I thought the Eagles had a good chance in 2018. I did. I mean,
no, did you expect them? Like,
yeah, I picked them to win that year. I did. I was wrong.
Well, for me, like, now, for me, I didn't expect that because Carson Wentz was coming off an ACL tear. So, it was 2011, right, when they had the four aces.
Right.
It's been almost 10 years where I went into a season expecting a team to win a title. In my entire life, 36 years on this planet, it's only happened three times. It was 2004 when the Eagles got T.O. It was 2009. I thought the Phillies could go back-to-back, and it was 2011 with the Phillies. 3 years out of 36 of my entire life, I've come into a Philadelphia sports season expecting to win a championship.
Yeah.
And I'm so jealous of all these other cities. They just know their team is going to be in the finals or the cup finals or this World Series, and we're a bunch of second-rate, third, fourth, fifth-place losers. I'm tired of it, Tom.
I get it, Mike. I appreciate the call. I appreciate it. I think Mike was a little over the top tonight. I do. A little over the top. I mean, it's not as dire as that. Like, it's not. And, I mean, Daryl Morey's been here a couple months. All right? We know Daryl Morey is a good executive. Daryl Morey has a good track record. Daryl Morey knows James Harden as well as anybody. And I get if you're disappointed. I understand that. I'm disappointed too. I wanted James Harden as well. But I don't believe that this is the end of the world. I don't believe that the Sixers are doomed forever. James Harden is a very good player. James Harden would have been a very good fit with the Sixers. But Daryl Morey is not going to sit by and do nothing. Like, he's not. He's going to do something. He's going to do something that is going to improve this team. And I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to crucify him after one you know, decision not to trade for James Harden. And I understand the desire to not worry about the future. And I get it. And I do think in many situations, teams do worry way too much about that. But we crushed the Eagles for not worrying about the future. But then we crushed the Sixers for having some sort of eye in the future. I mean, the Nets gave up a decade's worth of picks. They did. And you could say that doesn't matter, and it might not. But the Nets could also not win anything. Harden, Durant could leave in a few years, and they could be done forever. So it's not without risk. Like, there is risk involved. Part of Daryl Morey's job is kind of, you know, is managing that gap between now and later. And I'm not going to completely crush him for passing on this deal. Like, I understand the disappointment. I do. But I'm not at the point where I believe the Sixers are doomed and they're finished and it's over. Like, they still have Joel Embiid. They still have Ben Simmons. They still have a really good coach. They still have a really good team. And I think the team will be made better. I absolutely do. So while I understand Mike's point and I get the frustration, I get the disappointment, I don't think it's that bad of a decision. Like, I don't think this is like the worst decision that I have ever seen a general manager make. But I understand the opinion there of Mike, and I appreciate him checking in. And you know, I want to get your take on it. Do you feel the way Mike does? Do you think the Sixers squandered an opportunity? He's not alone. And I get that line of thinking. And the disappointment, I'm feeling it. But I also believe that Daryl Morey will do something. And, you know, we talk about Bradley Beal, and Bradley Beal is a really good player. Like, I don't think people understand how good he is. Like, this is a guy 27 years old. He's 4 years younger than James Harden. Is he James Harden as he had the career James Harden's had? No. He also hasn't been surrounded with anywhere near the kind of talent that James Harden has been. You know, Bradley Beal is as of now not available, but that could change. And here's another cut from the Hoop Collective podcast, our boy Windy talking about that possibility. Yeah, there is that possibility. Sorry, that pause, the long pause got me there.
That was good.
Yeah, but yeah, there is that possibility. And also, what about this possibility, Mike? And this is something I haven't heard mentioned that much. And this would probably be a similar type return that you'd have to give up for this guy than was just given up for James Harden. But say we get 2 months in and things aren't going well, and this team is not going to make the playoffs, and they decide, you know, the core's getting older and it's time to rebuild.
Portland?
No. Golden State.
For which one?
Steph.
No.
You don't think there's any possibility?
No, he's never leaving.
With what they could get for Steph? I mean, you're talking about Ben Simmons, and you're talking about Maxey, and Simmons, Maxey, Thibel, all the picks you got. You don't think there's any possibility? I don't know.
No, they're ready to compete because they have, like, next year when Clay's back, remember, they also have that Minnesota
Clay's pick. Never going to be the same again.
He's a spot shooter. He gets the ball, catches it, and shoots.
He's coming off two straight ACLs.
Well, it's one ACL, one Achilles.
That's even worse. Achilles is even worse.
Just bringing honesty to the
It is, but, I mean, you don't think there's any possibility? Now, any way that happens?
They're going to get another probably top five pick again with that from the Wiggins pick. I think they believe in this. Like, I don't know. They're playing all right now. They're kind of middling, but I think they believe they have something in Wiseman. Curry's got plenty of years left. They don't need to worry about Curry.
All right. Just throwing it out there. Just maybe I'm being a little over positive tonight.
Why'd you skip past Portland, though?
Because I don't think they're trading I don't think they're trading Lillard, and I'm only trading for Lillard if he already agrees to a contract. Like, he's in the last year of his deal. Like,
yeah,
I'm not trading for 2 months of Damian Lillard. If that's the case, yeah, you should have gone and gotten James Harden.
So in your mind, Steph Curry's more available than Dame Lillard?
No, but I'm saying if you're looking for a big, big fish that's controllable for future years, you know, we'll see. We could see. I mean, if things get ugly there, I mean, that team's not doing anything in the West. They're not doing anything without Clay.
I think for the next 3 years, they can be something.
We'll see. Just relax. Just throwing it out.
Crazy.
Can't be positive at all on this show, I guess. It's got to be all negativity with
just
you, Mike.
Looking for realism.
All right. Well, you know, I'm just throwing it out there.
And I will say, Brad Beal is a Drew Corrigan guy, too. So he and Embiid have worked out together for what that's worth.
Do you mean Hanlon? Drew Hanlon.
Oh, Drew Hanlon. Yeah. Corrigan's the Twitter
guy. Who's Corrigan? I don't even know.
I think
he's
a Twitter guy.
Oh, okay.
He's like a writer.
Okay. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. Let's get Rich in Richboro. Let's talk a little Eagles real quick. What's up, Scott?
Yeah, Tom. First of all, I agree with you 100% about Wentz. What a mamby-pamby. And kind of reminds me a little bit of Lindros. I mean, not exactly the same with the parents, but it's kind of like what you're saying. And it's just, it's sickening. It really is sickening. You bring up a good point. The other point that I wanted to bring up, I was watching TV sports today, sports shows, and they were saying about some of these coaches. They said Urban Meyer was going to go to the Jaguars, which would make sense because he has a house there, and they were also saying that the enemy to the Texans, and then this guy Boyle for the Eagles, who I don't know, and I didn't know if you knew anything about him. They said he's the one that they think is going to come, you know, to the Eagles. And then on the show,
Joe Brady, is that who you're talking about, Joe Brady?
Yes, okay. Yes, and I'm not familiar with him, and they were saying that that's who they think was going to be, you know, with the Eagles. But I know Urban Meyer, and that would make a lot of sense because he has a house in Florida. I know him personally, and he does want to come back, and I can see him going with Jacksonville. Uh-huh. The enemy, I was surprised at that because I thought that he might come here. And then the other thing that was amazing on the show, a guy came on, and he was slap shot for the Flyers. And Mikey Miss asked him a direct question. He said, how much did they pay you for being the mascot before, I guess, this other one that they have, the Gritty? And he said, oh, they pay me $25 a game. And I just was amazed at that. This guy's name is Boyle. He lives in Cherry Hill, and he was slap shot. And I was amazed at that. And one last thing. Manny Pacquiao boxed the other night. He ought to give it up. I mean, he's too old. He's still a good boxer, and he's amazing what he's done.
Right.
But they threw wrestling in on that. And this is what amazed me. With all the money that's in our sports, I'm watching this wrestling. They had video monitors in the seats instead of cardboard statues of people that were actually looking and watching. And I'm thinking, why can't they do that in basketball? I know, you know, there's some sports, baseball, you probably have to put a big plastic screen up so it wouldn't hit those monitors, because wrestling, you know, nobody's being thrown out of into the seats, if you understand what I'm saying. That would be the only thing. But I'm wondering, all the money's in these other sports, why they can't do what they're doing?
Yeah.
I thought that was amazing, because you're seeing all these people on the screen that are actually watching the wrestling.
No.
And that was amazing. They had them set up like seats, and wrestling has to be one of the poorest sports around. And I'm like, you know, I don't know why they're not doing this with basketball, because I'm sure the players like to see that, and it was very interesting to me. I mean, I just couldn't believe that when I saw that. And like I said, I don't really watch wrestling, but it came in on the boxing, and I'm like, oh, my God, you know, that's amazing how they're doing that.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I just don't understand. Money in football, you know, all this, they should do the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why they don't.
That's a good idea, Scott. I appreciate the call. How about Scott? Scott just rifled off takes after take. It was just take after take after take. I couldn't even get in. I couldn't even follow everything he was saying, but I enjoyed the cadence there. So thank you, Scott, for the call. Rifling off takes at me. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494. Did the Sixers squander an opportunity? You know, heard Mike talk about it. Mike thinks they did, and I'm sure a lot of people do. I'm disappointed, but I do trust Daryl Morey. I trust Daryl Morey that he will do the right thing for this organization. And Daryl Morey knows James Harden better than anyone and decided this was not the right route to go. This was not the right decision to make at this time. And I'm going to trust that. You know, the guy just got here a couple months ago, one of the best executives in sports, and obviously knows James Harden well. So I'm going to trust him. I'm disappointed, but I'm going to trust him. Where are you? Did the Sixers squander a massive opportunity to get a star? Or did they do the right thing by not pulling the trigger? 215-592-9494. We'll also get to some Eagles stuff when we get back as well. And Scott brought up one of the candidates for the Eagles job that they do have interest in. We'll touch on that guy when we get back as we run through some of the candidates here for the rest of the show. 215-592-9494. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly. Just checking back in on the Twitter feed at TommyKelly44. Ryan, you're the man. Ryan has sent us some Banya clips. I can't hear it on my computer, but the one is they're testing out the Ovaltine joke. I can just tell. Roundteen, Jerry. That's a great one. The other one is when Jerry intentionally bombs with the suspenders when Banya is using him to Banya goes on after him normally.
Yes.
And when Jerry's killed.
Yep. Yeah.
And this was also, I believe, the one where Kramer burns himself on the roof, where he roasts himself, where he's buttering himself
butter
up. Yeah. That's a great.
That's,
I love that episode.
The first episode of season 9.
I don't know, but I'll take your word for it. I'm a big fan of that episode. I
more of a question than a declaration.
And then Newman tries to go take a bite out of him. That's great. That's great stuff.
Newman starts like craving him, right?
Yeah. Well, Newman, remember, he's looking at the turkey, and then, hey, buddy, he's got the little arm thing. That's great. 215. Thank you,
that's,
Ryan.
The voice, right? Like the hello, like the,
oh,
like
is
the
it?
Stomach.
Oh, the, yeah. That's a good one. That is a good episode. So thank you, Ryan. Ryan is you can find him at fishpot22. So thank you, Ryan, for tweeting that in. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. In a minute, I want to get to a report from Mike Garafolo that is very troubling in regards to the Eagles and in regards to the process of firing Doug Peterson, and really illustrates why this team has an owner problem right now more than anything else. But real quick, I want to do look at some of the candidates here throughout the course of the show. We haven't gotten to any yet. We'll go through some of them tonight, and we'll continue doing this as the search progresses. But the last caller brought up Joe Brady, who is one of the guys that is interviewed for the Eagles job reportedly. And he did interview with the Birds. And if you don't know about Joe Brady, we'll fill you in a little bit. An interesting candidate coming off a season as Panthers offensive coordinator, I thought did a pretty good job with that offense, working under Matt Rhule, without a ton of talent, and, you know, did a nice job with Teddy Bridgewater. Robbie Anderson ends up having his best year after a bunch of years with the Jets in Carolina. That offense, they were missing Christian McCaffrey the entire season, essentially. And they were able to have a decent offense, like without a ton of talent. Some decent receivers, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, some guys they can use in different ways. But Joe Brady is he kind of fits the bill for what you figure Jeffrey Lurie would be looking for. Jeffrey Lurie loves offense. Jeffrey Lurie sees his team, always wants to be at the forefront of offense, as he has said, and Joe Brady is a guy that would fit that mold. He's only 31 years old, and is coming off of a year prior to his 1 year at Carolina, where he's the offensive coordinator at LSU, oversaw that offense.
Well, he was the passing game coordinator. He wasn't the entire offense.
Okay. Right. They had that other guy that was. But Brady was essentially, as most people thought, the brains behind that offense with Joe Burrow. And they had a lot of talent. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So very talented offense at LSU that he did a good job with. Obviously helped make Joe Burrow the number one overall pick in the draft. But what are your thoughts on Joe Brady, Mike? Well, what are your thoughts there? 31-year-old guy, the age kind of scares me with Joe Brady. Like the mind, I'm weary of bringing in a coach that young.
The age and just like the overall experience. Like,
yeah.
The closest thing to position of leadership, and you know, it is a position of leadership being an offensive coordinator, but that's the only experience he has being a leader in his 31 years of, you know, life. Like,
yeah.
He gets off the college field and he goes and works for Matt Rhule almost immediately. Finds his way with Sean Payton, and then, you know, a couple years later, here he is. Like, there's not a lot of, you know, a lot of experience going there. I would pass. I hear what you're saying with the offensive thing. I think if I'm going to do the offensive thing, I want to get closer to Wentz in terms of a quarterback guy. I don't just want a play design guy.
Right.
Like, I want a quarterback fixer.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair. And I think you look at Joe Brady, I agree. I think he's a guy you got to talk to, certainly. And if he comes in and he blows you away in an interview, maybe you look at him a la, you know, another Sean McVay. But he'd have to really impress me in an interview, basically. But yeah, I would tend to agree that Joe Brady, probably not the right guy for this job. The age scares me. The fact that you bring in a 31-year-old guy, I mean, McVay has shown that model can work if the coach is that good.
Well, McVay had 8 years of NFL experience before.
Right, true. Brady, not much experience at the NFL level. But yeah, I think he's an interesting name ultimately, though. Don't think he'll get hired as the Eagles' next head coach. Nor should I, nor do I believe he should. But it'll be interesting to see what plays out. But certainly a guy you'd want to talk to if you're looking to fix a broken offense. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. Open lines right now if you want to join the show. And if you want to talk about the head coaching situation, you're welcome to. Who you would suggest for the job, what you think the Eagles should do. And also, obviously, we're discussing this James Harden situation and whether the Sixers missed out on a golden opportunity. Did they squander an opportunity to get a star player? I'm disappointed. I wanted James Harden. I was excited about that possibility, especially yesterday afternoon when it looked like it was going to happen. But I trust Daryl Morey. I do. And I'm not gonna jump yet, as this is still a really good team, and I still think Daryl Morey will find a way to improve this roster down the line. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. And I got to get to this here, as we spent a lot of the show earlier this week when I was on Tuesday talking about the Eagles, clearly, and Jeffrey Lurie after that ridiculous press conference on Monday afternoon/evening. And it was scary. It was. And speaking of trust, I've been touting for weeks here my trust in Jeffrey Lurie. And I have really wavered in that area over the last few weeks. Just the way this season has gone, the way you can see Jeffrey Lurie's influence impacting this team in a negative way, and the things that he said on Monday just showed an owner that is completely out of touch with his organization, completely out of touch with his fan base, and in many ways, out of touch with reality in terms of like how bad this season was. And I had trusted that Jeffrey Lurie would get to the bottom of what went wrong this year and how do we fix it. Clear to me, he did none of that. He didn't. And he made what I felt to be a bad decision and an impulsive decision earlier this week in firing Doug Peterson. Now, we had talked a lot about where this came from and whether this was, and I know a lot of people want to rip Howie, and this is not necessarily a defense of Howie Roseman, but Howie Roseman is not the biggest problem with the Eagles right now. The biggest problem with the Eagles is the owner. And this was very troubling. As this report came on Tuesday, as far as what went in to the decision to fire Doug Peterson, and on NFL Network, Mike Garofalo used to work in this town, used to work at WIP, and Mike Garofalo reported exactly how this firing of Doug Peterson went down.
I'm told that this was a Jeffrey Lurie decision here. There are three big voices in the Eagles organization. It's Jeffrey Lurie, it's Howie Roseman, it's team president Don Smolenski. And from what I gather, it was the one loudest voice, the only one you really need on this one, Jeffrey Lurie, who really made the push for Doug Peterson to be dismissed here. And that Howie Roseman and Smolenski were trying to salvage the situation and get those two back on the same page and go forward with Doug Peterson still as the head coach of the team. Now, that's pertinent here in response to your question, because I don't get the sense that this team expected a coaching search to be happening right now. So they're kind of scrambling a little bit. We're seeing the requests are in for Robert Saleh and Todd Bowles right now. Those two have been out there. We can confirm that. But I wouldn't look at it and say, oh, these are the targets. Because right now, this team is just getting its feet underneath it as they start a coaching search while six other teams are already deep into theirs. So I think there's a little bit of frustration on that part. And I think it's tough to get a read right now on who's going to wind up being the guy for the Eagles.
Now, regardless of how you feel about Howie Roseman, regardless about how you feel about the people within the Eagles front office, that is not encouraging. That is not the sign of a functional organization. As an owner, your job is to hire competent people and to trust those people. And if this report is true, which we have no reason to believe it's not, especially when Howie's out there a week before doing a press conference with Doug, in which Howie seems to clearly believe he is sitting next to the head coach, who's going to be the head coach for the next year. Like, Howie said nothing in that press conference to make me think Howie had any desire to fire Doug Peterson. When you have an owner disregard the advice of the people he hired to make these decisions and to give him advice, that's not the sign of a functioning organization. And, you know, you heard some things from Jeffrey Lurie the other day that really make you scared. And you hear about him, you know, the reports the other night from Jeff McClain that he is making draft choices. And that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is a guy that Jeffrey Lurie wanted. Jeffrey Lurie shouldn't be making football decisions. Jeffrey Lurie shouldn't have a voice in who you're taking in the second round of a draft. When I couldn't find this exact cut, but Jeffrey Lurie's talking about how I watch the game. I watch for schemes. Jeffrey Lurie doesn't know he's looking at when he's watching football as far as schemes go. I mean, come on. The guy's the owner of the football team. He's not a football operations guy. He's not a real football guy.
25 years. Like, he's...
Yeah, but do you think Jeffrey Lurie knows schemes better than Doug Peterson does? Better than real football coaches do? Jeffrey Lurie doesn't know what he's looking at.
I wouldn't say better, but it's not like he's an idiot anymore. Like, he's been around for years now. With Reed, you know, Peterson, obviously. Like, I think he's picked up a thing or two.
But he should not be making decisions like this.
Who's the owner?
Against the... But you don't... Well, okay. Well, this is the thing, Mike. If you don't trust... And it goes back to the same thing we were talking about with Doug, where if you don't trust Doug... I've been saying it for weeks. If you don't trust Doug to make decisions on his staff and personnel and that kind of stuff, then you got to fire him. Because if you don't trust him, you got to fire him. Same goes for the front office. If you don't trust Howie Roseman and you don't trust Don Smolenski to give you advice on who your coach should be, then what are they there for? If you're not going to take their advice, if you're not going to listen to the guys you hired to make these decisions, then why don't you fire them too? Doesn't make any sense.
If I'm Howie, don't I point to the staff I built for Doug and say, I know what I'm doing? Like, he hit a grand slam of he hit a home run of a staff when he hired Reich, DeFilippo.
Right. Well,
Schwartz.
But that's what I'm saying.
Stoutland.
Like, if Lurie trusts Howie, and Howie's telling you not to fire Doug, then why are you firing Doug?
Because the quarterback wanted him fired.
We'll get to him. We'll get to him in the 4 o'clock hour because the redheaded baby. I'm so finished with this guy. But the Eagles also have an owner problem, and Jeffrey Lurie and his offensive vision. The good owners know what they don't know and defer to the people around them. And Jeffrey Lurie has become a meddlesome owner. He has. And there are a couple pieces of sound here I want you to hear that illustrate that. First, here it is when it comes to the draft, where Jeffrey Lurie's talking about the draft and the picks the Eagles have made and kind of talking about why he has confidence in the front office moving forward. Here's what he had to say.
Luckily for me, I sit there and I get to see exactly what took place and takes place. And, maybe someday I'll write a book about it, but you can't really talk publicly about what could have been and all that. There are mistakes made and they have to be improved, corrected. And, I expect us to have that success. We've certainly had the success on the field. It has to be in every aspect of the organization. I'm not somebody who's very satisfied. My personality is, even when we're winning, we can do a lot better. My message to Jim Schwartz after we won the Super Bowl was, wow, that was not a good defensive performance. So it's like in that game, it was great against the Vikes and the Falcons. But again, my personality is, I want to win badly. I want to win more Lombardis for Philadelphia and our fans. We got the greatest fans around. And I will do everything possible. And if it means making any change necessary, I will.
That's part of what I mean. Like Jeffrey Lurie thinking he knows, I mean, that's just humorous. Jeffrey Lurie thinking he knows more than Jim Schwartz about defense. I still love when Les tries jumping in there with, I'm sure he appreciated that. Like, yeah, no. You don't know more about defense than Jim Schwartz, Jeffrey. You hire the people that you trust, and you let them make the decisions. Here's one more from Jeffrey Lurie talking about his role being the same, as he puts it, for his entire tenure.
I would say my involvement's been the same for about 25 years. I think that what I tend to do is to ask a lot of questions and to understand where we're coming from strategically and performance-wise. And it's stood us in a good way because it's allowed me to transition when we've needed to, make coaching decisions that have worked out, at least often in the short run or long run, and allowed us to be able to have a finger on the pulse of what could take place. When we have a bad season, I look at myself as much as I look at anybody else. But I think we have a great infrastructure. I think we've got good people all throughout the building. And it's the same, a lot of the same people that built the championship team. And, I think our track record of in the last 20 years, how many NFC East titles, playoff appearances, and appearances in the NFC Championship game, those are some of the metrics I look at. And, I'll compare our record with almost anybody. So I think the involvement's good. You never want to be too involved. You never want to micromanage. And I'm very, very sensitive to that. You got to trust the people around you and first bring in the right people around you and then trust them.
And, you hear that there, Jeffrey Lurie listing off the record and the accomplishment. The success has gone to his head. And it's made him a meddlesome owner. And that is a problem when your owner is not only disregarding what the head coach wants, but what the front office wants. And I'm not telling you Howie Rosen's perfect. I'm not telling you that front office operates in a perfect way. But if you have the people in place, you take their advice and you trust their advice. If you don't, then they got to go. It was the same thing with Doug. Same thing I'd said with Doug for weeks. I would have kept Doug. I still would have. I think it was a bad decision. I think it was an impulsive decision. And especially if you weren't getting that advice from your front office, and your front office was advocating to keep Doug, and you fired him anyway. That is not something a functional organization does, and not something a competent owner does after a coach had his first bad year, essentially, in five. When you look at even 2016, I thought that was a decent season to lay that foundation. So, yeah, Jeffrey Lurie's a problem. Jeffrey Lurie's become meddlesome. He has become power hungry, even within his own organization, and he's not trusting the people that he has in place. That is not going to end well. We've seen how that's ended in Dallas for decades. There's a reason why the Cowboys don't win anything. It's because they have a meddlesome owner. And that's what Jeffrey Lurie has become. That does not bode well for the Philadelphia Eagles. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, when we get back, we will look at another candidate for the head coaching job. And then after that, we got to get to the Carson Wentz aspect of all this. Because reporting this week about Carson Wentz and his input, his role in the firing of Doug Peterson, and it is nothing short of disgraceful. 215-592-9494. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly. Quick segment here, and when we get back, we will dive into the quarterback situation with the Eagles, which I have been saving up for a while here. We just haven't gotten a chance to get to it. I was planning on getting to a lot more Eagles stuff earlier tonight, but then the James Harden thing went down, and it's put the Eagles stuff on the back burner a little bit. But we're going through a few of the candidates here, and I want to talk about another one real quick. Lincoln Riley, the coach of Oklahoma, and the Eagles reportedly called Lincoln Riley immediately the day they fired Doug Peterson. Innovative coach, coach Jalen Hurts at OU, had Baker Mayfield, had Kyler Murray, did a nice job with those guys. I'm a Lincoln Riley fan. This would be my number one choice as well. Now, reports are that he's not interested in making the jump to the NFL at this time. That could be true. Didn't take the Cowboys job last year, didn't want to interview for that. But as we saw 8 years ago with Chip, things can change, and things can change quickly. I like Lincoln Riley. The Jalen Hurts connection obviously is there, but who knows, maybe he could fix Wentz as well. What are your thoughts on Lincoln Riley, Mike?
I don't know. I'm not feeling it. I think he, maybe this is like a little carrot for him, whereas like they like getting intel from him in college. And yeah, and look, he's a smart, he's a bright guy. It doesn't hurt to talk to him. It only costs time. So
what is it for you? Is it the chip? Is it the chip scars that scare you?
I am not a Big 12 guy. I don't like the way the offense attacks the defense, I guess. It's just okay. It's too easy for me.
I that's a good point. And that was the reason I had such a problem with the Raider pick, is you're going to take a guy from the Big 12 over a guy from the SEC, guy from the SEC had better numbers. But, yeah, I get that. I like him. I think he's a good coach. I think he does a good job of quarterbacks.
Yeah, he does. I mean, it's pretty easy when you
Baker and Kyler have been pretty good at the NFL level as well.
Well, his thing is he gets transfers that like get rejected elsewhere, and he gets like the most elite transfers.
Right. Well, that's pretty impressive to resurrect those guys though. So,
sure. Yeah. I mean, he's good. Like he's no doubt a good college coach, one of the 10-15 best in the nation. I don't know if he's ready to be an NFL head coach. Like it's funny, the Jalen Reagor pick. Apparently, they called him up for his advice on Reagor, and he endorsed them.
Really. Well, that's kind of scary, but I think he's an interesting guy. From what you hear, it's different personality than Chip. Not that kind of, like, I wouldn't rule out college coaches. I know some people are like, oh, they should never go for a college coach again. I'm not looking at it that way. I think Chip was a different kind of guy.
Lincoln Riley's a normal guy.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley's an actual football guy, not a shake and whatever sleep machine guy Chip was. What? He's had the sleep machine and the shakes and all that.
No, it's a sleep monitor. It's not a sleep machine.
Monitor, whatever. Whatever it was.
Sleep machine.
Chip's such a fraud. 215-592-9494. Let's get Dave in Cherry Hill in. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
Hey, I agree with you that Laurie's taking charge. I think he's seen the dysfunction that's going on, and he's taken a U-turn on his philosophy, and he is... He's the decision to let Peterson go was mutual. He did not micromanage it. He has a philosophy, and Peterson was not buying into it.
Because the philosophy that Jeffrey Lurie had was keep the crybaby quarterback, and Doug didn't want to keep the crybaby quarterback.
No, I think Wentz is going to go. I'm predicting that Wentz goes for draft picks. I think Lurie wants to go for the future. I also predict that Howie Roseman is not going to run the draft next year, but Dorsey is, or somebody else.
Well, I hope that's the case, Dave, but I disagree on the quarterback. I think there's certainly a chance. I don't think there's 100% chance he's back, but I look at this as there was a power struggle between Doug and Carson, and Carson won it. They catered to him again.
Well, I think the Peterson was wanted to go out the door even long ago, and he managed the team accordingly, and that he's going to look for a job that she's more fitted for. He doesn't want to go for the future. He wants to go for the present, and that's the way I think.
I got you. I appreciate it, Dave. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. And we'll talk about that more in the next segment and get to the quarterback situation, because this is a mess, and I hope Dave's right. I don't care who the coach is. I don't want Carson Wentz on this team. We'll get to that when we return. And the role that he had in ending Doug Peterson's career in Philadelphia. Because if you don't think Carson Wentz had a role, whether he was the sole person who got it done, I don't necessarily think that. But Carson Wentz absolutely had a role in getting a good coach fired. And I don't want him on this team anymore. Bottom line, I think he's a weasel. I think he's a snake. And we'll talk more about it next. 215-592-9494. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.